You're listening to audio from The Village Church, a community that's formed by the gospel and sent on God's mission, gathering weekly in the heart of downtown Hamilton, Ohio. For more information about The Village or to connect with us, you can find us online at myvillagechurch.com.
We're late. Guys, thanks for gathering with us tonight for a family meeting. If you've been here, you know what this is. If you've not been here before, we will spend the next 58 minutes giving you some updates on things here at The Village. We will make space as we go throughout the evening. If you have questions, you're welcome to ask us, and we will, it's not Q&A, it's Q&R. We may not have answers, but we'll respond with something. And so that's the plan throughout the night. We will get started in just a second. There's on the first slide. Is the confidence monitor on back there? Can I see what we're looking at? I'm sorry. There should be, are you guys seeing a QR code on the thing? Okay. There's a slide with a QR code on it. It is myvillagechurch.com/family meeting. You can follow along. The slides that we're going to go through tonight are on there already, as well as some other stuff. And so if you want to look at the things up close and personal, you can do that. But everything that you're going to see on here is also going to be on the website as well. So we will get started by talking about the thing that we always talk about at the beginning, which is numbers, but in particular, kind of asking or answering the question of, like, how has two gatherings been? And so we'll look at some of those numbers. When we gathered back in August, Ryan, if you'll kick over to the next slide here. Next one, I threw up this graph that's on here that we were projecting, like, to the end of the year, kind of where we would be. So our last family meeting was back in August. That might not make a whole lot of sense to you, but at the end of the day, we were thinking by the end of 2025, we would have about 75 kids on average in Kayville, 195 folks out here in the main gathering area, about 290 total. And so if you go to the next slide, Ryan, this is what this looks like for right now. So we have met those numbers, we have exceeded those numbers here, and these numbers are as of last Sunday. We're averaging 79 kids back in Kayville, 202 folks here in the main gathering area, and then 306 total on a Sunday. That incorporates both gatherings. The way we are calculating that, because we have folks that overlap both, they come to the first and the second if you're on band, if you're preaching, some folks in Kayville who are sticking around for both, we take the sum total of both gathering numbers and we subtract 30. It's very complicated math. So that's our ballpark. Some weeks that's probably going to be a lot more, some a lot less, but that is the average we're rolling with for now. So yeah, that's what things look like. And if we want to look at both gatherings and how they stack up against each other, Ryan, if we go to the next slide, you will see that the 9 a.m., we have about 39 Kayville kids on average. 10:45, we're looking at 45 kids, so not too bad there, about even. 9 a.m., we have 88 folks in the main gathering, 138 total with us. And then for the 10:45, we have 141 in the main gathering and 198 total for that gathering. So you can see, like, we have kids roughly kind of evenly distributed there. Katie will speak to that in a few minutes, but the 10:45 is certainly the larger group. But if you go to the next slide, Ryan, if you take a look at these are numbers since we've moved to two gatherings. There is a slow and steady increase for both. Actually, the 9 a.m. increasing a little bit faster. So you can see that we are still gaining momentum. It's not like we had a big beginning and then stuff is leveled off, but the averages are higher. We are steadily increasing as time goes on, as folks continue to come with us on Sunday morning. So that's kind of what that looks like. Those are encouraging numbers for us. And we just thank you for all the stuff that you have figured out, led through, served in, and continue to do that just to make this happen. A couple of fun numbers. If you want to go to the next slide, Ryan. Actually, our very highest normal gathering that we've ever had was last Sunday, which is crazy. When we met in August for our last family meeting, our highest was like 315 back in June of 2025. We have four times since we moved to get two gatherings, we have exceeded that highest normal Sunday number, which is really encouraging. Last Sunday, it was about 355 folks that we had total here, unique people here on Sunday, which is just super fun. And then a random little data point that Kia Wikipedia actually like hunt us on for Church Center. We have about 81 new profiles over the last 6 months that were created in Church Center. That is excluding inactive people, like folks who have joined Church Center and then like fallen off the face of the planet, or folks that have submitted benevolence requests from the outside. So anytime anyone wants to join a group or checks kids in to Decayville for the first time or fills like the Connect card or whatever, a new profile is created. We've had 81 of those over the last 6 months, and more than half of those have been just since we've moved to two gatherings, which is a few months, but also that's subtracting a few Sundays when we didn't meet around the end of the new year, and also the two snow days that we've had. So pretty sweet and encouraging numbers along that. And then some numbers that are really important to us, Ryan, if you go to the next slide, is it's great the folks have been sticking around, our folks connecting, and they are. We've had 6 baptisms since our last family meeting. We have had added no new members. We didn't have a Village Gate last time around, but we have 159 total members still. We have 178 people connected to a team, and we have 185 folks connected to a community group. Both of those numbers have increased, I think by 7 or 8 apiece since the last time that we met. And so folks are not just showing up on Sunday, but they are actually connecting in the ways that we want them to as well, which is just super, super encouraging. At this time, since I just blasted through those numbers, Katie, where are you? Do you want to come up and just share a little bit from the Cayville side of things? Just kind of how the move to two gatherings has been.
I didn't know a seat was saved for me. Woo! Hold on.
You got to jump a little bit.
Yeah, I think most of the teachers would say, you know, even though the numbers show a little bit of growth, it just gives breathing room in Cayville. We were at capacity in all the rooms, and like almost every Sunday was a juggling of like, where are we going to move these extra kids and which room's low? And then even as we moved kids, it was full house. And so especially at the 9 a.m., they're in the elementary grades, I feel like the numbers are a little bit lower there. And so there's a little bit smaller classes and a little more personal relationships able to be had with the kids. And then even at 10:45, the numbers are a little bit less, and so it feels more manageable and healthy and fun. And so, yeah, across the board, I think people are serving in the ways that work well for their family, whether that's serving back-to-back or just serving 2 times throughout the month. It's gone smoothly, so I have enjoyed and appreciated that. And then they gave me the microphone and said I could also recruit. And I will never turn down that opportunity to just say, you know, for me, one of my favorite authors is The Lazy Genius, and my system is decide once. And so, like, at one point, if I've made a decision, I ride or die that decision. But sometimes it is also good to reevaluate. And so as a church family, if, you know, back when we were at one gathering, it made sense to not serve in Cayville, if you were riding that one, maybe reconsider. Especially because 2 services obviously opens up the ability to attend one and serve one. The full-time commitment is 2 services, but we don't require that. You're welcome to serve just once a month at one of the 2 gatherings, and every little bit does help. And so whether you've served in Cayville in the past and thought it didn't work, maybe it does now. So just asking the whole family to consider how we can, as a church, disciple the kids who are growing up in our church. And then the last little plug is for the summer, Cayville Adventure Days. It takes a village, and it is such a fun time for whether it's our teens who get to truly be the rock stars of the event. So if you're a high schooler if you're going into 7th grade and up, you are the coolest person for those 3 days because of the way you get to help lead your group of kids. And so if your high schooler isn't here, but you're a parent of one, block out their summer for just July 16th, 17th, and 18th. And one of the sweet things, too, is that Bridge Camp has happened prior to that. And so if they've attended, it's a sweet time for them to kind of reconnect and get to do something serving the church as a group. But then we do also need adult volunteers, and we need kid participants. And kind of like there's man camp for the guys and the women's retreat, this is a time to really just pour our energy into building up and giving a really cool community building opportunity for the kids of the village. And so if you haven't already scheduled a vacation for those 3 days, don't. And put Kayville Adventure Days on your calendar. So July 16th, 17th, and 18th, two evenings, and then a Saturday morning.
Sweet. Thank you, Katie. Any of you guys have anything, reflections on two gatherings or any of that stuff?
Just thanks. It's super sweet to, you know, to be in groups on Church Center and see, you know, someone Saturday evening or Sunday morning trying to fill a spot, and for people to just so regularly jump in and do that. It's like, for me, it's like, it makes me like smile every time. I'm like, oh, there's a need, and I'm like completely uninvolved. I'm just aware. But then just to see people hop in and serve in all the ways, and just people deciding to join teams that they can kind of add on. Well, we're here anyway. Why don't we go ahead and whatever? And so it's just been really sweet. And so, for me, the two gatherings, it's like a blur. It's super, super, super quick. It feels like I've had the chance to connect with a whole lot more new people. Maybe it's just that gap in the middle that's like, what are we going to, there's nowhere we can run. We're just here talking to people. And so I just encourage you to do the same. Just try to connect with new people. And I think that is something we do really, really well. I hear all the time, like, man, people really care and, you know, have made an effort to connect. And some of you, like, are very intentional. Like, the hand hours are so great at that. And so, yeah, just thanks for everything.
I think one thing I would say, too, is just recognizing that change is really difficult. I was at the 9 a.m. I think the band that was up here, this was, like, we're going to three bands. You're going to talk about all that stuff. But, you know, change and transition is really, really difficult. And that's the other thing. Just thank you guys for seeing kind of the bigger vision around that stuff. Anytime you multiply a community group or multiply a gathering, there's relationships that are going to be, you may not get to see the same folks as often, as that's really, really difficult. And I think we've just handled that really well as a church, too.
Yeah. Cool. Do you guys have any questions at all? It's one of those times where we open up for Q&R. Mr. Gordon. Do we have a mic? Somebody got a mic?
If you don't mind, Chad. Thanks so much.
Chad, thanks.
I just had a question. Is there a like membership directory or something? Or like, how do we know if people have decided they're no longer going to be a member? Or, you know, like I was just noticing some people today. I'm like, well, I haven't seen them in weeks. Like, are they out? Are they in? Do we know?
Yes. So there is a directory. Kia and I will chat about that. I'm not sure the accessibility, and even if you can see who is a member or who is not on Planning Center, do you know if that's a thing?
People can opt in to be on the directory.
Yeah. I don't know if it tells you if those people are members or not, or how we've decided to handle that. But there is a directory. That is a good thing to figure out. It was in my notes at some point. It is not anymore. Kristen and Joey Braun, they have moved their membership to the Oaks in Middletown. There was some overlap there relationally and just a better fit for their family. And so we chatted with them, and they're like, hey, we love you guys or whatever, but it was just a better fit. So you have not seen them around. That's because they transferred their membership as well. But we also collected back some other folks who had gone away and come back over the last couple years. So we'll work on that. I think that's important, Emmy. That's a good thing to bring up. Thanks. We'll make that clear for you guys.
So with Kayville being at 75 kids combined, and Katie said that was tight. I can't remember the words that you used, but it felt like it was a lot. If we get to a certain number, or if the 9 and the 10:45 services get to that 80% number, do we have plans for what that looks like? Seems like we're growing.
We'll put more chairs out and spread out that way. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, no. I think we have a little bit of room before we get to the point to where we can like start evaluating, like, oh, what next? We joke around, and I mean, I think tonight while I was here, somebody mentioned like three gatherings, and just to let you know, that's not a thing that's happening tonight. That's not what we're declaring. And so I think it's great to be mindful of that. That's why metrics help so much, honestly, which has been really, really great. And so, yeah, we kick that stuff around. We're not going to be quick to do anything wild. And we always let it be said on the front end. We're not declaring that we're moving to a new building, just to let that out of the bag. On the front end, we're stuck here for a while. But, yeah, so we're mindful of those things. I think those metrics are really helpful. Questions like that are helpful. We kick it around, but we don't have, like, solid plans. Like, what are we going to do now? Is that fair?
Yeah. Katie, is there anything that you would add to that?
No, I mean, it was tight with 75 at one gathering, and so we at least have until the 39 grows to 75 on a individual gathering, right?
Yeah.
So
does that make sense?
Yeah, Katie's answer was that there is breathing room. The two gatherings have helped that, and we have, like, we could almost double at the 9 a.m., and that would be okay.
Yeah. And we reduced a class size as well when we moved to two gatherings, which we would love to keep it that way, but we do have room in that sense as well. So, yeah, good question. Any other questions related to that stuff? Cool. Awesome. Sweet. Well, then I think Matt and the finance team, you guys, everybody's favorite part.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Everyone clap for Chad.
Chad loves that stuff. So.
Love it. He lives for the applause.
He's a party man. So we're going to start out with just a little, man, we know that some churches, maybe you've been here for a long time, maybe you've this is your first time at a family gathering. We don't actually talk about finances a lot. We have a monthly emphasis once in a while where we kind of just encourage good stewardship. We're never going to ask more than the Bible asks. And so the Bible asks that you be faithful with what you have, right? It doesn't say you have to give 30%, but also, so we're not going to ask that. And so, man, what we are asking tonight is we just open up. We're going to say thanks. Chad will dive in just a second to some specific numbers, which I'm sure you would love to hear. But before that, would you just be able to go to the next slide, Ryan? And there's just a couple of things that we would love to start this with. I know this is maybe a little small, but man, this is the heart of why we encourage you to be generous with your money or your things. We give because God has given to us, right? I know this might be a basic theological concept, but we don't ask you to give because whatever, but God has been so generous with us to save us, to call us into his family, to give us whatever we have. And so we get to give as this people of God because he has given to us. Also, giving is part of discipleship. That we're going to make an ask maybe at the end of this time. And it's not because we're just dying to pull more money out of your wallets or whatever, your credit cards, but it is a part of discipleship that we make this ask in a way. And so, again, like that's who the people of God are, is they're generous. And God uses the church to support the church in his ministry. A couple of things down, you know, God uses people to advance his mission. And so the call today is to prayerfully consider, as we talk about a couple numbers and overall things are great, how you might be able to be a part of supporting his mission. That will look different for everybody. We are aware of that. Some of you might be in a great financial position, and some of you also might be saying, man, I don't even know how to put food on my table next week. And so we are not aloof to that. We are mindful of the needs around us. We're going to even highlight some benevolence, things that we've been able to celebrate and be a part of. And so all that will kind of come full circle in just a second, but we just want to start with a mindfulness that we know that we are the Lord's. God is the one that sustains his church, and man, we are blessed. And so, Chad, you want to just dive into some of the numbers?
Yeah. Next slide. Thanks so much. All right, so we talked about this in August, but just to kind of level set, thank you, because I can't see you. Yeah, all good. So just a little bit about our perspective before we kind of dive into the numbers. The first thing is, you know, we do try to be mindful, you know, New Year, so we're going to talk about our new budget, but there is a science behind, like, where we land. You know, Anthony and our team, which I don't know if Anthony's here or not. If he's here, okay, it's all good. But he is really good about forecasting and trend analysis, and so we look back pretty far. I mean, how far back would you say, like 10, 12 years? Yeah. I mean, we're trending and we're doing analysis to say, like, what should that number be? At the end of the day, Our perspective is, you know, we're just trusting God to meet our needs. And I do think that when you look at the budget versus performance, it's another year where God showed up. Let's just call it what it is. So kind of the story here and how this played out is our budget was $468,000, which is about $39,000, which is $39,000 a month. So when you see total giving through December, we landed at about $490,000. And we say $490,000 because there's some fees and some things that go into that. But we're saying 490 is where we landed. So that's plus $22,000 or 4.7%. So that's fantastic. And that's worth celebrating. And that's good news. If you remember when we met in August, though, so we talked about May, June, and July. We were definitely down. We talked about that summer slump. That's typical. We're always going to see that for the most part. I think historically we've seen that. But that trend really did continue into the fall and into the end of the year. So when we met in November, we really thought we're probably not going to hit 468. We were like really praying about that and thinking about that. Being mindful that, you know, again, we're trusting God to meet our needs, and it did play out. And so at the end of the year, we did have a handful of really big, larger gifts from some families in the church, and that's really what took us over. But had we not had those, we really would have probably been about $10,000 to $12,000 short of the 468. So, but again, just keeping in mind that that number we don't just pull out of thin air. You know, we do put a lot of thinking and consideration about what that looks like. And typically, year over year, we do see a growth that supports us going to that number. So, with that being said, 2026 budget, based on trends and that analysis that I've already hit on, we're targeting $480,000, which is $12,000 above our goal from last year and is about 2.5% more than what we targeted last year. So that's roughly $40,000. And I think you said January we are a little shy of that. Or yeah. How did that play out?
Yeah, January's going pretty good. We just want to you know that this is a pretty conservative increase. 2%, as you know, for your own budgets maybe is not much. And so we tried to say, like, we felt like we were living a little paycheck to paycheck last year. Like I said, by the end, we had some special gifts that came in and really bumped us over, which we're grateful for. But what we're trying to do this year is kind of like keep things a little tighter with the hope that over the course of this year we might have a little more margin in our budget. The reason why that is not just to have more, but because we might need to add another staff person, or there may be a building on the horizon at some point, or there may be something that God might want us to invest in. And last year, we didn't have a lot of extra at any point in the year, even though we have savings. And so this year, the thought would be, let's keep that budget conservative. We gave 2% raises to staff, stuff like that, to where we didn't increase the budgets a ton. So we kind of kept things thin with the hopes of being able to this year get a little extra each month, maybe at the end of the year, be able to have something extra to provide for some of those things.
Perfectly stated. Appreciate that. Yeah, that's going to hit on that as well, is just trying to be, as we're thinking about the budget, and for those of you who do lead teams, you know, we didn't bump up the team, budgets significantly either. Like, we were just trying to stay as flat as possible, but still be generous, right, as much as possible. So next slide. Yeah. Thank you so much. So, you know, we strive to be transparent, right? So we just talked about what came in, and so we just want to kind of hit a little bit on kind of how that plays out from a membership perspective. So Michael shared in the podcast, and I appreciate that because I was going to go do the research on it, but we have 159 total members. And then we always look at this from a household perspective. So if you're a single person, you're a household. If you're a family like Matt, Tammy, and their kids, then you're a household. So we have 89 households, and in 2025, we saw that 74 of those households participated or contributed, which is 83% of our household, you know, number. And then 15 of those did not add, I think it's 17%. Gosh, I can't see across the board, sorry. But specifically, just want to kind of hit on a little bit. So looking at the tail end of last year into P2 or through February of 26, we have seen 24.75% of members have not given anything in that time span. So I know, Matt, you had some thoughts on that. I don't know if you want to hit on that, but
absolutely. It's a little challenging to create a budget where we are seeing maybe like the bigger gifts get a little bigger on one side of things, which we're really grateful for. Also, maybe like the lower gifts, the lower dollars, which we're incredibly thankful for, are like waning and kind of just falling off a little bit. And so what's challenging is, like Chad said, 24.7% of our members haven't given anything in almost 5 months, which, man, we don't freak out about that. And that's not like, what's going on? But also, it's just something to highlight. It feels a little unhealthy. And to give some context, last year that was about 16%, and that's increased to about 25% in the last 5 months. And so, again, we know that when we talk about coloring that statistic a little bit, it's not just because everyone hates God and are not giving, right? There's things there that are probably going on in people's hearts and minds.
Not everyone.
With work or with just inflation or whatever it is. But we do also want to be candid with you as a church and say, as much as we have made budget, as much as we were actually over budget in a good way, there's some unhealth that we're mindful of. And so we do care about that. And just as an action step, yeah, we'd love to see how we might be able to help make disciples out of those people as well. They're disciples. I'm not talking really clearly here. But just to see how we might be able to help in that number. We might send out an email later on and say, hey, if you're going through a tough time, maybe we could help with benevolence. Also, though, maybe if it's just out of sight, out of mind, maybe we can help with saying, this is where you can go to sign up to give, reoccurring if that's a thing, or whatever it is. But we just want to be mindful. We love you guys. We're thankful. We know that many of you are incredibly generous. But there's just a little bit of unhealth there that we're mindful of going into this year.
Thank you so much. All right, so real quick. Another thing we do look at, because I think it's another sign of kind of health, and what we're always considering is reoccurring donors. So we do have 60 households that are reoccurring, which is fantastic. So we know when we look at on a monthly basis, unless that person cancels that payment or something, we can look in the system and say, we know that this is the money that's going to be coming in, right? And that really helps us from a forecasting and just consideration perspective. And so that equates to 50 households, member households, which is 56% overall. We do have some regular tenders, 9 that are doing that. And then we do have one visitor, or person that's classified as a visitor or household, that consistently is reoccurring giving. So the last thing I would just say about reoccurring is we would just encourage you to check your debit cards, right? If you're using your debit card, make sure that it's current, because we do see a trend with a couple declining consistently. And the reason why that matters is because we still get charged a fee. So if we attempt the payment and it returns month after month, we're still paying that fee as a church. So we would just encourage you to either cancel that, which was not the greatest option, or update update your card and make sure your card is current, which would be even better. So, but just something to be mindful of, right?
Absolutely. We can go on to the next slide, Ryan. We're going to breeze over this. I know we're kind of maybe over our time, but we just want to be candid with you on where our finances are. And so we have one primary checking account. We have a couple savings accounts, and then we do some like really safe investing with CDs and money market accounts on the very bottom. And so total right now in cash, we have, you know, the $441,000, which we're grateful for. That might look like a lot of money to some of you, but that's broken up to make sure that we have some in our primary checking for salaries, benevolence. We take from that, you know, often throughout the course of the year. There's a renovation and savings budget for initiatives and projects, tech stuff maybe this year that we might be talking about. Church planting is saving for if God raises up a church planter, and we've given significantly to church planting this year, and we'll talk more about that. And lastly, then the CD/money market account, which we have about $318,000, is what we heard from you guys and saying we want to start investing into a building, saving for a building in case God would bring one. And obviously we can't do that if we have no money. And so the goal here in showing you this is not to hoard or not to just say, you know, have our trust in our money, but we also want to let you know, like, hey, we do have some resources in case God would bring a building, and we're trying to, over the course of time, grow that with some safe investing as well. Lastly, if you go to the last slide, Ryan, this will kind of tie into benevolence a little bit, so I don't know if we want to do this, but this is from Tyler, and this involves generosity. We want to let you know that as much as we're encouraging you to be generous, we are also trying to be generous as an organization, as a church. And so this is not on there, but to church planting, we gave over $56,000 last year to church planting. That's in Tyler, our resident. That's going to Guatemala opportunities. That's sending a team last year. That's giving to churches locally and abroad. $56,000 is what we're celebrating. That's you allowing us to do that. So praise God for that. Also, in regards to benevolence, and I'll just talk about some numbers, and I might highlight just a little bit more of the what we're celebrating in terms of structure of it. But we gave away almost $14,000 last year in regards to benevolence. For some context, since 2020 to 2024, we averaged benevolence about $4,500 a year giving to benevolence. And this last year in 2025, by God's grace and by your generosity, we were able to almost help $14,000 of legitimate needs inside of our church and also outside of our church So praise God that we were able to be really generous. And again, we're thankful for you. Some of you contributed specifically over and above your generosity, over your giving to that fund. And we made sure that we were very intentional with that and used those designated funds for the right things. Also, we have a thing called a care portal. And Tyler is a part of that as well. And we were able to give also, I think it's almost $2,000 to people in the care portal last year. That's outside of our church opportunities, part of Local Go. And so total, last year, we were able to give over $70,000 away. And we just want to celebrate that. God has been really kind to us. And we want you to know, man, we're trying to be generous. And so praise God for that. I will talk a little bit more about benevolence in just a second. Do we want to have questions here, or do you think no?
Yeah.
Is there any questions? I talked fast. I know that. There's a lot that could be asked. And also, maybe you have no questions at all. But does anyone have anything that they're curious about right over here?
Sam Mulberg.
Are we so transparent that you have no questions?
So that's a really good question. So Sam's question, if I heard it correctly, was if we don't make budget in a month or maybe throughout the year, what gets cut? So we do prioritize the budget for sure. And Ryan, could you go back to the one slide with all the accounts on it, please? We try to operate in a budget that we actually think will hit. And so certainly last year we did get a little tight in those other months. Thanks so much, Ryan. If you look at the renovation savings budget, that is an intentional savings account. But if we have issues, that's where we pull it from. So we kind of have a small emergency fund there. God, we've never had to eat that all up. God forbid we eat that all up, then we'd probably start taking from our money market accounts, which are liquid. Like, you know, we can take from a lot of that stuff, and we hope we've never had to do that. You guys have been very kind, but that's a good question. So we'd probably look to the budget, maybe even have a freeze on certain things. If things got tight, we have the opportunity to pull from the renovation savings account, and if things got really bad, we'd pull from our CD money market accounts. So.
Yep. But that was one thing I was thinking about, though, when I was talking, is like when we fell short those months, that's where we pulled it in to make payroll and things, is, you know, or to fill the gap was to go to savings. You know, and obviously we'll try to put that back as we can, but logically you don't want to dip into savings if you don't have to. So, yeah.
Good question. So one of the benefits of not having a building is we don't really have any debt. And so that's really great. Like we, from a balance sheet perspective, we look really good. Yeah. Very, very liquid.
Breathing room for sure. Yeah.
Any other questions that we can talk to?
Can I just say one thing? Hey, we know, and Matt and this to the chat, like there's a million reasons why you may not be giving. Some of that might just be because, yeah, your credit card expired and you just never updated the next one or whatever, you know, but we also know folks got laid off this year and furloughed and the Hamilton City School stuff, all the school stuff that's going, there's just a million things. Stuff is more expensive. Like there are a billion reasons why you may not be able to give or not know that you are giving or not giving anything. And so like if you do get an email from us or we say check in and say, hey, like you are one of the 25% on there, like that is just for us to be like, hey, that's not a good trend that we see. And so we just want to peer in and be like, hey, is there something that we can do to help? One of the reasons that we were able to give away so much more money this year for benevolence is because we've made that more public and an easier thing that we can toss out to people and say, hey, fill out this form. Let us know if you need help. We genuinely want to do that. Like, we want to help you folks if you are in need. Matt will talk more about that and what that policy looks like and all those things, but that's a thing that we really want. And so we don't bring that up again to like make y'all feel bad, but it's just a thing that we want to highlight and say, hey, this is a thing. And so we want to speak to the thing. And if we can help, we would love to. So, yeah.
Any other questions? We good? Sweet. You can always hit us up afterwards. Chad is the servant leader, deacon of the finance team. I get to help oversee it as the pastor. And so talk to us. We'd love to talk with you. Thanks, Chad. Appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. I just want to say thanks to Chad and Matt and the finance and budget team, the men and women who meet as often as they do in that room down there. If you walk by and it looks really serious ever on a Sunday morning, that's who that is. They do a great job. I talked with a guy last week whose church is about double the size of ours. So their budget is like $1.5 million or something like that. And they had a mortgage on their church building that was $35,000 a month, and they had $7,000 in the bank. And so we're not living in that, and it's because of your generosity, God's grace and kindness to us, and the upstanding way that these men and women manage generosity and funds. So thanks for all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, praise God for that. We took a little longer there, but I want to highlight the benevolence process. We are, as Scott said, really excited to, we've always had a benevolence process, but it felt like over the course of time as our church grew, it was almost not practical or functional with the needs that were arising. And so Tyler was going to talk about this. He's pretty sick, and so he's not able to be here tonight, so I'm just going to jump into his spot. But over the course of last year, the benevolence team matured a ton in that Tyler is the deacon over the benevolence process. We have a team that is under him that has helped out a ton in assessing needs. We have a form that is very public on our website that if you as a member or an attendee here, or if there's even walk-ins from outside that don't even come to here, you can go to that form and fill out a little bit of information, and then we will follow up with you. We have a process to say within a certain amount of time and days, we will connect with you, process the need, communicate, and most of the time we're able to help with that need. If we're not able to, we also do provide you with prayer and resources and other things to consider if we're not able to help with that need. But just to let you know, so the benevolence process, I think, is linked, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you want to see the benevolence policy, that's on the website. Last year, like I said, we gave away almost $14,000. And so legitimately, if you have a need, and don't be embarrassed if it's like a legit need and say, I'm struggling right now, we'd love to help with that. Fill out this form. We also offer some financial like counseling. We're never going to tell you what to do with your money, but we'd love to walk alongside you if that would be helpful as well. And so genuinely, we care about this a ton. But we're just excited to say, like, we've always had benevolence, but last year it really took a step forward in maturity to where we can consistently do this. We're getting probably two or three needs at least a month that we're weighing through, sometimes more, sometimes almost weekly things come in. And so this is a much bigger thing, maybe as it's getting harder out in, you know, the world and as inflation happens. So I'll stop there, but we're excited that that's a thing, and we definitely want to let you know that we're intentional about that.
Cool. Any other questions about money stuff? Sweet. Matt, you want to say nothing about facilities?
Yes.
Awesome.
So I'm not trying to hog all the things. Mine just fell right in a row. And so if you're tired of me, I'm almost done, I promise. Thanks for your patience. Typically, over the last couple of years, we've had a building project, right? Maybe we didn't plan a flood this year, and so that's a great thing. You just breathe easy on that. There's no earthquakes that we know of, stuff like that. Typically, we've had a project. Last year, it was like the Kville update. We put about $20,000 into a lot of those things. You'll see it in, you know, the Kville foyer looks entirely different thanks to Kia and Katie and a lot of our maintenance team and some other stuff there. This year we don't have a big project, and we're kind of like relieved with that. We're not dying to do projects all the time. And also, like Michael said, we don't have a building on the horizon. Last year we looked at like three or four probably, and the year before that the same thing. And so it's not like we've forgotten about a building, but also there's not one that's so right in front of us that we're like, this is the thing we need to let you guys know about.
It's because it's underground.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like Michael said, our rent here is rather cheap. We have a great maintenance team that helps facilitate this. We have a great clean team that helps keep this thing going. And so this year, what we might want to use for like that savings account I talked about for like renovations or opportunities is a lot of the tech stuff is getting old. Just as an example, like our soundboard, I think we said almost had it 10 years maybe. And not that like we can't handle something that's 10 years old, but like tech increases a lot year to year. And we've grown into almost three bands now. And so there are things like that as one example that we'll have to maybe invest a little bit into over the course of this year. But yeah, there's no big building thing that we're going to do, and that's a relief to us, and so we can invest in you guys more and be present.
Yay.
Yeah, it's all good.
Do you guys have any questions about a building? Do you have any building questions? I dare you to not ask any questions about a building. But you can, it's fine.
Can you guess my question?
Who's that? We can't even tell the voice.
We're what I'm gonna ask.
You're going to ask if we explored other options outside of downtown Hamilton. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't need it. I already asked the question
we're
for him.
This, so it's all good.
I don't need a microphone. Never hand a bass player a microphone.
So fun. No.
Did you have a question, John?
That was it.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Cool.
Yeah, that was it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that's it.
Have we explored options other than downtown? I mean, that's honestly your question, John. Yeah, I mean, we talk about that, you know, twice a year we have this conversation.
You're always there. We're always here.
We love John Bell. We're always mindful. I'll say that. And I mean, yeah, somebody sent me something, hey, like out in far, far, far away. Hey, there's a building. It's like, okay, that's a building and location work hand in hand. I think when you're buying a home, I think the realtor would say that location, location, location is the thing. For us, I think I've probably grown more and more confident that where we are located is strategic and helpful to serve the particular mission that God has given us to. But like it's not like we don't listen. And yeah, we haven't done a 20-mile radius, whatever. I hear about churches that move long distances. I had a friend that their church moved like across state lines recently, and you're like, wow, that's a big deal. And so talk to me about that. So I listen to that, mindful of that. And so we're always aware, and if somebody says, hey, check out a building that's 5 miles away, if it's like something that looks like it could work, we'll check out a building that's 5 miles away. And at the same time, like the appropriateness of what we're trying to do at such a time as this is, we've not seen an opportunity that's better than where we are. I would say it that way.
Fair enough. Fair. Cool. Any other building questions? Cool. Nope. Wait. Brandy's got one?
Oh, no.
I was just wondering whatever happened with that old police station.
Thanks for bringing that up. So, thanks for bringing that up. I don't know anything about it, but I was just wondering if, so right now they have not even released a request for proposal for that building yet. That's still floating out there. Chances are when they do, we will still send something in, but we have basically been notified that we are not the kind of people that they're looking for to inhabit that space. They want someone that's going to, you know, probably make them more money and pay more taxes and all the things. And so it's totally fair. That said, we'll still throw a hat in the ring and, you know, see where it goes, especially if no one else wants it. We do, maybe. So that's where that's at. We're just kind of sitting around waiting and with not very high hopes, but we're going to do it anyway whenever it shows up. So,
yeah, great question. Thanks for bringing that up, Brandy. It's funny, the CVS that went out of business down on Route 4 and 129 or whatever it is. So you drive by and you look at that and you look at Jay's Furniture and you look, you know, any building, like, gosh, we are always looking. And I'm thinking, oh, the CVS, that doesn't look quite big. And then you're like, as I drive by every day and see the construction going on there, I'm like, oh, like, the scope of what we are trying to do and the scope of what whatever's going on, it's like a difference of millions and millions of dollars. And so the city, we're praying that that doesn't work. And maybe if God would have that for us, then we get it. But otherwise, here we are. So,
yep. Liz. Thanks, Chad.
Maybe you don't know the answer to this, and maybe this isn't a fair question, but do buildings exist in the radius that we could, that like, does a building even exist that would satisfy the needs of the Village Church? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, well, I like, okay, so there's the police building.
Yep.
But like, is there a building that, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Is that a fair question?
Yeah, there are. Certainly, there are. It's just, are they available? In what state are they in? How much does it cost? How much would it cost to get it ready? You know, is there parking enough to suit, you know, all the folks that drive here and have to park somewhere? Kids space. So, yeah, there are probably spaces. I've been surprised every time we do get a, hey, check out this listing. And it's like, show up and it's like, oh, this, I didn't even, I've lived here my entire life. And like, I've not even looked at that building before. And it's like, oh, that can maybe work. There's buildings here that I'm sure would fit us well. It's just, hey, are they on the market? Do they work? You know.
It's a great question, because I've said if we had $10 million today, we would meet in this basement right now. Which is a fair question. Yeah. It's fair.
Yeah. Yep.
I've also been surprised that most of the buildings we've looked at, I've felt like we get another 15 people. Like, they're surprisingly don't hold just that many people at once.
Yeah. Yeah, we have officially kind of outgrown a lot of the spaces that we've ever looked at, so... I will, just for the sake of time, not because I don't want to keep talking about the building, because I love talking about buildings, but for the sake of time, we will move on to the next thing. You can find Michael after if you want to talk to him about buildings afterwards.
Adam.Hanauer at.
That's the joke, yeah. He's very into that. He's very into his email. So next slide, next just bucket of stuff we want to talk about is our area of emphasis this year, which is grow together. And so Graham has some stuff he wants to share. We'll rattle off some things.
Yeah, I talked in long form on the podcast that we sent out. In short form, I would say in terms of a couple things. One is like development pathways of discipleship. And so we want to support existing culture, discipleship culture, which I mean, I would put our church culture in terms of disciple making discipleship against any other. Like, I love you all so much. I love that you guys hold me accountable to preach faithfully and open the Bible. I'm nervous to preach in front of you because you know the Bible better than me. And that is the thing that shapes every room that you're in. And in this church as a whole, it just increases biblical literacy and gospel formation, all those things. I love that so much. But also, we want to come alongside and not just trust in culture. And so trying to be mindful about building formal structures and opportunities to, like, make sure that there aren't people falling through the cracks of discipleship. And so, in short, basically strategically thinking what is needed for a new believer to grow in their faith and, like, establish foundations of that. What is needed for a new member to be discipled in not just, like, the things that we value, but that's part of it. But then also to know that, like, hey, this is a church that values disciple-making discipleship. So how can we, like, even at membership, certainly at baptism and new life, but even at membership, come alongside and say, hey, if you're a member, would you kind of have a few chats that we can help supply some content with new members, like, so that they know that we value discipleship and so that you have, like, a pretty low bar if you're just, like, scared to death to sit down with somebody and talk about the gospel or your life or whatever that is. We want to, like, give you resources that empower you to do that. And in doing so, increase discipleship culture in general. Leaders, the same thing, empowering leaders to have chats about, man, hey, this is what, like, every leader doesn't have to sit down and do this thing. Why don't they sit down with other leaders and learn alongside them, both group leaders and serve team leaders? And then on the back end, having Tyler around as a pastoral resident with the end game to be a chaplain in the military has been unique, but really cool as well. And so he and I have been working together and processing some things, but really learning how to have a resident has been really valuable for us, learning what the thing is. And I hear about residencies all the time, and so often it's like, here's 14 books that we need you to read in the next 8 months. And, you know, and it's like, that's part of it. There needs to be some theological development, but also it's relational, cultural, and all those things. So trying to be mindful of how we're doing all those things. And just one thing I'll plug. I think the target date is going to be May, June, July. We're doing something in the kind of vein of growing together that is a theological work that's open to anyone. If you want to, like, grow in your, like, base level theology, self-study, self-paced, although we'll meet twice a month, like, on a video call on, like, Monday evenings to process. But it's, like, pretty robust content. And so if you're like, man, I think I know what I believe and I'm just trying to figure stuff out, like, man, jump into that and do as much of it as you can. We'll come together, like I said, a total of 6 times over 3 months in process. And so I would say look for those opportunities. We might tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, can you meet with this person and do this thing? And we just encourage you, before you tell us no, to be like, hey, maybe I will do that. Anything to add or subtract in any of that stuff? The other thing is a document, long awaited. I know people are just dying. Someone asked me about it today, like, when is this document rolling off the press? And I said, it'll go live tonight. Essentially what we call theological triage, and there's a lot in that, but I'll just say it this way. We want to build unity in our doctrine. We want to have doctrinal clarity, especially at times such as these, and we want to anchor who we are as the Village Church in the church of the past, and also anchor it for the church of the future. And so what I mean by that is not something space age, but just we are we are a church that's not associated with a long line denomination. And so our roots are like what, you know, Acts 29 is 25 years old and it's had a turbulent ride. And what does that look like for us to be anchored in something bigger than that? The church is 2,000 years old and plus the prophets and all those things. And so this document is an aim to help do those things. I don't give, Scott, you want to share anything? I mean, we could talk about it forever. But
we could talk about it forever, and I don't want to.
Sure. This is what I would say. It's the type of document that you either like care and you've already like clicked links, or you'll never care. And my encouragement is like, I dare you to read it, and then just see what we're trying to do by giving us a resource like this, because it's bigger than us, it's beyond us in this church as it is right now, again, backwards and forwards. And so I encourage you just to read over it. And the idea is that we know what you need to believe to be an elder. We know what you need to believe to be a deacon or a leader. We know what you need to believe to be a member. And we know what you need to believe to just hang out and be in Christ together. That's the goal of the document.
So. Yeah. We've talked a long time, I'm going to say words now, about close-handed and open-handed issues, things that we're willing to fight over and we're not going to, whatever, move any ground on, and then open-handed issues that are like, yeah, whatever, we can agree to disagree on these things, totally fine. Just, you know, 16 years in, it's like, it's more helpful for us to kind of flesh that out a little bit more and know, to Michael's point, like, just to be a member here and to belong as a part of this family, we got to be united on some certain things. To be a leader, where you are maybe teaching, shepherding, influencing, we're moving together, hopefully, arm in arm with stuff, that might require a little more unity on a little more things, a few more things than that. And so clarifying those things, and then on the open-handed side, just like, what are the things that we are saying that we're okay if people agree to disagree on, and not everyone thinks it's okay to agree to disagree on some things. But we're saying that's okay here as part of this church. And also there's just another whole category of stuff that's like, these are preferences that you have, that really what we get to do with these is you get to lay them down for the sake of the body. And so it's, in times such as these, culturally, like identifying those things, I think pastorally, leadership-wise, and just being able to live and breathe and move among the people of God, at least in this little local body, I think will help us and serve us down the road. So, yeah, that's all I got. Anything else there?
In the way that's probably been, I don't know, 5 months of our meetings and chats and shooting stuff back and forth and edits and just saying, what do we need to put in there and what, whatever. And so that document will live and grow and breathe. Yeah. Which is pretty cool.
It's a living document. So go read it. It's a lot of fun. A couple of things for me. We also know that in light of, you know, putting out theological stuff and all that, really good. Michael, even a few weeks ago, like wanting to guard what we do on Sunday mornings, and we get to let the Lord set the agenda and his word be the thing that's preached, and we're not letting news stuff or opinions or current events, like we're not handing the keys over to that stuff and letting it steer us whichever way and listening to someone's opinion about those things from the pulpit. That's not what we do. And yet we know, because of that intentional choice to guard this place up here, that there is maybe a vacuum of, hey, but what do we think about this stuff? Or how would we speak into the spiritual realities of the day? Not who should I vote for, or who's the bad guy this week, or whatever, but just what are the spiritual realities at play in the things that we're seeing out? So we know there's a vacuum there that we want to step into. And so I don't know what all that's going to look like. It will probably look like us writing some documents. It might look like a sort of regular podcast-ish, but not a weekly whatever. We don't have time for that, and neither do you. But we want to speak into some of those things. So maybe like a monthly, every 4 to 6 weeks, we will have a conversation about some things and toss it out to you all with some resources and references or whatever, just to help us think, grow in thinking and learning together, and really how to stir each other up to love and good works, which is a unique thing that we get to do when we talk about things together as a church. So I want to bring some moral clarity for us all, including us. We get to grow in that as well through that process. A couple of things. We do want to plant. There's nothing magical about this number. Would love to have 2 more groups planted this year. You guys saw we have more groups than ever, or more people connected to groups than ever this year. We're actually down from 10 to 9. The Peterson stepped back from leading last year. And so we have 9 groups, 1 less group than, but more people than ever. Would love to see a couple of more groups planted this year. And so if you are curious about that, talk to me, talk to your group leaders. They are equipped to handle that as well. So that's a hope for me for this year. And then lastly, we just want to grow as the church continues to grow this way. We want to grow in our ability to care for each other. And so kind of similar to what Graham was saying about theological stuff, maybe a Zoom call, going through something, and then talking about it every now and then. We might do a book or something along those lines for the church at large, and maybe also some specified things for leaders and elders as well throughout the year, just so we can grow in our competency to care for each other and speak into each other's lives as we see more new people coming in, and also as we continue long relationships that we've had and we get to endure more of life together. How are we equipping you guys to do that? We want to grow in that this year. So those are my things. Matt, I'll give you a couple minutes there.
Sounds good. I'm really excited about, turned it off so I wouldn't feedback. There we go. Really excited about some music opportunities that we're engaging in. So our church is around 16 years old. For the first five-ish years, we had one band. One band practiced every Thursday night for 2 to 3 hours. Every Sunday morning, they practiced and did the set. That's a lot of time, 52 sets, 52 practices. Around 5 years in-ish, we went to two bands. Went down to 26 practices a month or a year and 26 sets and stuff like that, which was still great. And that was around for 11 years, like ending today. We've had two bands. Going forward next week, we're starting three bands, which we're really excited about. We're really excited, not just because it's bigger and better, but here are the reasons why we're excited. We're going to three bands because it's going to create space for others to be part of the Village Music Program in the future. Like, our desire is to make mature and multiply disciples. That's certainly in your context and on teams and wherever you find yourself, but it's also on the stage as well. And so we're creating space for new leaders to come up and lead bands, new people to be a part of stuff and use their musical gifts to honor the Lord, to create opportunities for current Village Music members to lead and be developed. We will have three band leaders and three band co-leaders now, which we're really excited about. And then it's going to be create opportunities for musical variety amongst the bands as well. Our goal is not to say it has to look one way, certainly theologically and certainly with the mindfulness of the church, but we want to have some musical creativity as we grow into three bands. And lastly, this will foster health and avoid burnout amongst the Village Music Program. It's been a lot. Maybe you're aware of kind of what the bands do, but man, they practice on their own throughout the week. They have a practice on Thursday night together, come in Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, practice for an hour, and then they do two sets, and that's like a freaking ton. And so, we're thankful for the band. We have 20 people now, a part of Village Music, and I just want to thank them. And if you see them, please thank them because they care deeply. We are also adjusting, and like Adam said, change is challenging, and those bands become families, and we're not trying to split up the families, but we're also knowing that, hey, we get to grow and multiply for the good of the church. And so I'll stop there, but man, I just want to let you know that's a celebration that we want you to know about.
There we go. Sweet. Graham?
We are not going to Guatemala this year. That's where we're at on the slide there, Ryan. Sorry.
Oh, did you want to talk about prayer night? I forgot we did that. I kicked it over to you, and I should.
Oh, I'm happy to. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
So on March 11th. On March
11th. I wouldn't have led with that if that's what. Go ahead.
Sounds good. Yeah. On March 11th, we're having a prayer night. A couple of the beautiful things about this is that we want to grow a culture of prayer. We have a prayer team here that is available to pray at the end of gatherings. That's one of our response opportunities. Also, we have a prayer team that prays for this church in different ways. And on March 11th, that's a Wednesday night, we're inviting the whole church to be a part of that. It'll be an hour long from 7 to 8. The theme of it will be the theme of this year, which is growing together. And we have some specific ways we're going to encourage you to pray that night. We're going to highlight a couple opportunities in regards to growing together, how we want to grow deep personally as individuals. We want to grow wide as we grow together and continue to encourage each other to grow as a church, and also grow outwardly in how we would love to invite those who don't know the Lord into the church. And so March 11th, we'll have a couple 20-minute blocks of prayer, as well as one or two songs. It'll be really low-key, but we would just love to see you there. We'd love to see you pray for what's going on, and it will kind of set up this year, including the theme that we have. So,
yeah. Thanks, Matt. Literally last few things, and you can finish your
no, that was all I wanted to say about it.
That's
it
for real?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So we're not going to Guatemala this year. We've been doing that for more years for some, but 5 years as a group, and we still have partnerships there. One of the documents linked on this family meeting is a clarifier about how we, so we've learned a ton, and some of it is about how we're processing church planting partnerships and global partnerships. We are still very, very, very involved with what's going on in Guatemala. I was there 10 days ago, and I went there to help bring clarity to some of the relational stuff that's going on, and some of it's, yeah, not great. And at the same time, when we put that together with church planting, there's a ton of sweetness about the work that, man, I get to do a ton of stuff on like a global perspective, lots of conversations. So church planting, the way that we do that, it exists certainly in our global partnerships, and things continue to progress there. We're not abandoning everything going on in Guatemala. But yeah, what has happened is the complexity of things that have happened there have, like, man, put certain stressors. And so I went there to help bring some clarity about role stuff and other stuff. And so it's been really good and really hard. And so we're not going there. Tammy and I chatted in December, I think, and we decided that we're not going to do that this year. And at the same time, this year will be a sweet time for us to not forsake global anything, but like, hey, 5 years in, what a really great time to just peel back and say, what are we doing? How have we learned? How can we prioritize different layers and levels of global investment and partnership? And that helps us on the church planting side as well. So I'm an open book. We can chat about that offline. I don't know if you guys want to add, subtract any of that.
Good. Cool. Last couple literal nuts and bolts here. Not literal nuts and bolts, but, you know, metaphorical literal nuts and bolts. To wrap things up, you've probably already gotten texts from us about things being canceled or reminders to fill out your membership renewal stuff or whatever. We didn't announce that before, but you're already getting them, so you know that it's there. But that's a service called Clearstream that we're using through Planning Center. You will not get text blasted all of the time. We just want to use that because we know not everyone gets notifications on Church Center, sometimes on purpose, sometimes not. But we know that's a reliable way of also getting information into your hands. So as you see that, just know that that's not like an accident or you didn't sign up for something, you know, and spam or whatever. That's actually a real human. It's probably Kia sending a text to the entire church. So know that's a thing. Also, we just want to help you guys stay in the loop on what's going on. And so we have added in the last year, there's a calendar on your way out that gets updated every single week. We try to put all the things in the weekly, all the things in the next steps page. There are also ways for you to just know and have a calendar in your hands or on your phones. And so on this family meeting page, there are links to a couple of digital versions of like a rhythms calendar. And so like this year, we're no longer doing like 3 connect months a year. We're doing it twice a year now. And so it'll be in March and in August. We will have connect months where we do Village Gates and baptisms. What month is a men's night or what month is a women's night? All of that stuff. We have a rhythms calendar for that. And then we have another calendar that is literally every single day of the year. And if there's a thing on there, it's filled in. And so we will update that. It's on Canva. That's where the link goes. And so you can check that whenever and it'll be updated. There's some paper versions over there that will never be updated again unless you fill it out. But on the Connect desk, you can grab those. And then lastly, on again, the family meeting page, there is an iCal link. If you don't know, it's like a URL that you can plug into your Google Calendar or whatever Apple uses. So you can have our events from Church Center populated into your calendar so that you can just see what's going on and you don't have to guess or look up a thing or whatever. It's just right there. And so it might be too much information for some of you, but it won't be not enough. So there you go. So those are some ways that we want to help just you guys know what's going on. Yeah, so that's all I've got. You guys have anything else to add? Any of those things? Cool. I'm going to leave it at that. We started at 6:02 at 7:05, so did a little over an hour. We tried. Do you guys have any burning questions at all? And if you got to go, go. We'll take 90 seconds if anybody has a question that's for the good of the group. John, yep.
I really appreciated Habits of Grace, the book that you guys kind of handed out. I love that.
Awesome. Sweet. Okay, great.
Yeah, it was a pretty good read.
Beautiful. All right, great. Habits of Grace. Good book. Awesome. Thanks, John. Appreciate the feedback. Yeah, Devin.
Where's the theological? I was looking at my
No, you're good. Yeah, it's on the family meeting page. All of those things, the theological stuff, the calendar stuff, those will all find homes probably on Church Center and the website of their own. That's not just the family meeting page. I will send some follow-up stuff over the next couple weeks so you can see where those things live and access those things regularly. So, and that theological stuff will be part of membership process, and for members, you will want to look at that, over the course of the next year. So, good question. Cool. All right, we'll close it there. We will hang out, or at least some. Oh, yep. Oh, Brian, sorry. Oh, for this? No, I did not say that. So we had for like the preview thing. Sorry, you're talking about. Yeah. So we recorded a conversation prior to this where we say more things. Not that anyone wants us to say more things, or you want to hear that, but that is out there. We try to do that before, so you guys can dabble in the information before you show up here. But you're welcome to listen to that if you want to. And I think this one's being recorded as well, in case you just want to listen to this again. You know, because it's so good. Yeah. Thanks, Ryan, for that plug. And thanks, you guys. Thanks, Josh and Ryan, for helping out there. Anything else for the good of the group? Awesome. Cool. Thank you all for being here. Really appreciate it. David, you got something, buddy?
I was just going to say I'm super encouraged by how many people came back on a Sunday night. Like, this yeah, is thanks. Awesome. Yeah, you guys are an encouragement.
And it was worth it. Worth every second of it. I know you're thinking that. So good. Thank you, Brittany, for all the refreshments and all the things everybody else that helped out tonight. Really appreciate you guys being here. Go, if you got kids, go get your kids or whatever. Love you guys. Appreciate you.